Hello, and thank you for tuning in. My name is Stephanie London, and this is a sermon for Easter Day 2022 at St. Columba Anglican Church in Beaumont. Welcome again to this joyful celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. Today is the high point of the church year, the event that all of God's work in the world leads to and from. But to get there, we're going to step back in time just a couple of days to Good Friday. Jesus dies on the sixth day of the week, the day of preparation for the Sabbath. They get his body down and hastily wrap it and put it in a new tomb nearby. They roll the stone across the entrance, then they go home and try to make some sense of what has just happened. When the emotions and the adrenaline of the past week had been replaced with silence, when the tomb was sealed and everyone scattered, I wonder if Jesus' friends felt like everything had died. Their community, their mission, their hope. As they wait for this day of dead stillness to be over, perhaps the Sabbath prayers and rituals are a comfort. Perhaps they do something to hold up Jesus' friends as they contend with their earth-shaking grief and the memory of their dear friend dying, as they collapse in exhaustion. One day, or one night, a long day, and another night. I wonder if Mary Magdalene couldn't sleep. With the world upended and in the throes of grief, everything inside her must have resisted the peace of a warm pillow or a pillow in a warm blanket. Maybe her mind was playing over and over the scenes from her life when she had walked with Jesus and eaten with him, when he had taught her and healed her and prayed with her. So early the next morning, even before sunrise, she gets up, slips on her shoes, wanders down to the place of his burial. Even though Jesus is gone, maybe at least she can be near his body and find some peace. The story of Jesus is full of people whose lives he changed. Mary Magdalene was one of them. The Gospel of Luke says that Jesus had driven seven demons out of her. And if you can imagine what an awful state that would have been for her, then you can imagine the moment he freed her from her terrible torment, just how grateful she would have been. If a dead place inside you has been turned to life, you remember that forever. From then on, Mary Magdalene devoted her life to Jesus. She used her resources to help support his ministry. She joined the others who traveled with him and became one of his closest followers. On that evening after Jesus died, she was sitting across from the tomb with one of the other Marys, watching them wrap his body and place it inside, then roll the stone over the entrance. So she knew how that tomb should look early that morning on the first day of the week. She expected to see the stone gathering dew from the night before. She knew where she would go and sit and weep and pray. The last person Jesus had raised from the dead was Lazarus, the brother of a different Mary, Mary of Bethany. His sisters had called for Jesus' help when Lazarus got sick, but Jesus took much too long getting there. So long that Lazarus was already dead and buried several days when he arrived. Jesus watered that grave with his own tears. He felt the terrible weight of grief, and then he cried out to God and called for the tomb to be opened. We know what happened then. To everyone's astonishment, Lazarus walked out, still wrapped in his burial clothes, still blinking from his time in the grave. 4 days dead, and Jesus called him back to life. Everywhere he went, that's what Jesus did, called people back to life, like Mary from her inner turmoil, or Lazarus from his literal death, bureaucrats from their greedy ways, the destitute from oppression, broken people from their shame. Everywhere he walked, Jesus brought life. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed. Imagine the shock, my God, to get to that tomb you thought was closed up and find a gaping hole staring back at you. And even worse, to think that someone has added insult to injury. Someone has stolen his body. So Mary turns and runs, stumbling through the garden, until she gets to Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and they come tearing out to see for themselves. When they get there, they bend down to look into the tomb and see the linen wrappings, the ones Jesus' body had been buried in, lying there. And the smaller cloth from around his head is folded up off to the side. The shock knocks the wind out of them. And then? Well, that's curious. If you're going to steal a body, why on earth would you unwrap it first? Why would you sit there and take the time to fold the cloth neatly? No one's mother is going to check if you've cleaned up after your thieving. Unless, of course, it's not a thief folding it up at all. Unless, instead, it's the one whose dead body rested in those wrappings until in a flash life returned. Unless it's the one whose resurrected body shed the shroud, leaving it behind to collapse like a deflated balloon. And Jesus paused to breathe the air again into his lungs and gently set that cloth neatly aside before he walks out of the tomb as the gardener of a new creation. If you've ever wondered why we're Christians and not Lazarusians or Marians, why we follow one risen person over another, one liberated body over another, it's not that Jesus taught more or healed more or was more compelling, though he is all of those things. It's the grave clothes. When Lazarus walked out of his tomb, he was still bound in what they'd wrapped him in. It was still his old body, just with life back in it. He was still subject to decay. He was still going to die, and next time it would be permanent. But when Jesus walked out of that tomb on that first Easter morning, it was not just like Lazarus did. He didn't just get reanimated, nor was he some kind of zombie possessed by a soul. He was himself, fully alive, but there was something new and something more about his body. He was no longer subject to decay, no longer controlled by death, no longer bound by grave clothes or walls, nothing. C.S. Lewis would say that Jesus had emerged from death more solid, more real than this broken world. He came from the other side of death, from the side of resurrection, as one day will we. Because that's the promise of the resurrection, that it's not a one-time event, but the very beginning of a new creation wedging into the old, the beginning of God's solution to all that has gone wrong. The seed of a healed world, a new promise, and at the risk of sounding Star Warsy, a new hope. The beginning of God healing and restoring everything that has broken and failed and died. The beginning of turning the world back to the way a good and loving Creator intended it to be. St. Paul, in the letter to the Colossians, calls the risen Jesus the firstborn over all creation and the firstborn from the dead, not the last or the only, but the first of many. That means he's opened the grave for all of us. That power was what set Mary Magdalene free, changed her life. To be a follower of Jesus means not just to follow his example and his teaching, but to follow Jesus as he walked out of our grave, like Mary Magdalene did when he offered her freedom, and like Lazarus did when Jesus called to him from outside his own tomb, and like we do when we make room in our hearts and our lives for Jesus. Just as Jesus brought new life to Mary Magdalene, a new life to Lazarus, a new life to all creation, Jesus also brings new life to us. How that works out in each of our lives is different, because the ways I need healing are not the same ways you need healing. But the source of all that healing is the same. The source is the same life of God revealed in the resurrection of Jesus. Today, we're going to baptize this little guy in a ceremony that seeks to communicate the story of that resurrection life. Baptism is an ancient rite. It predates Christianity. Jesus himself was baptized, and later the story of Jesus, particularly his death and resurrection, became the pattern for Christian baptism. And the sacred ceremony that has been passed down through generations demonstrates in words and symbols our own dying and rising with him. Baptism teaches us who we are, people adopted into the family of God and who walk in the footsteps of a God who shared our life, shared our death, and in rising destroyed its power. Finally, baptism is a sacrament, which is an outward sign of the resurrection life that courses below the surface whenever we walk in the way of love, whenever we hang on to Jesus, whenever the Spirit of God moves. And so we pray today that the life that brought Jesus out of the tomb will grow and flourish in this child's life and in ours.